A private school in Wauwatosa asked fourth grade students to write about three good reasons for slavery, along with three bad reasons. A child struggled with how to approach the assignment. A parent spoke up. And late last week, the school apologized, agreeing that the homework assignment was racially offensive and showed a lack of sensitivity. We're talking about it on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Tremika Brown Berry is a graduate student in nursing at El Verno College, and she's the Milwaukee parent who shared concerns about this fourth grade assignment online. Tremika, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Walk us through what happened when you encountered your son's homework assignment.
So my son was working on his homework. I came over to review it, and as my eyes kind of just glanced over the instructions, I found it immediately alarming. I kept my composure, though, and at this point I could see that he had tried to write something down in the good reasons section and then had the bad section completely filled out. I could tell that what he had written at the top didn't really make sense to him, because he kind of just looked really confused. And I asked him, you know, what did your teacher say for you to do for this assignment? And he said, well, she told us to write three good reasons for slavery. Then he did the air quotation marks, and three bad reasons for slavery. But there is no good reasons for slavery, Mama. And he just kind of looked at me confused. So I said, you're right. I said, did she give you, like, any other instructions? Like, what else did she say to you before she gave it to you? And he said she didn't say anything else. So I said, if there's no good reason, why did you write something down? And he said, well, because that's what she told us to do. So I said, did you kind of feel obligated to write something down? And he told me, yeah. So I asked him, well, how do you feel? What do you feel about this? And he again told me, I don't feel that there's any good reason for slavery. So I said, well, you just write what you feel. Sometimes rules are meant to be broken. I reminded him, what if, you know, Rosa Parks or Dr. Martin Luther King didn't break the rules that they broke? Like, where would we be? So he erased it, and he put, there are no good reasons for slavery, so I did not write. And then I told him that his opinion matters, so always express it. And then I showed it to my husband, and we kind of discussed it. And my husband was also very upset by the assignment as well. And then that's when I posted it to Facebook.
You posted the assignment on Facebook earlier last week, and since then it's received thousands of comments and likes. What propelled you to put this out there and to show it to people?
To be completely honest, I was just so enthralled by this. I couldn't believe it. And so I just wanted other people to see, like, Do you guys see what I'm seeing? You know, just that comfort, like, do you see what I'm seeing, pretty much. So it was just like a concerned parent kind of just reaching out and inquiring in shock, like, do you guys see what I'm seeing?
And what was the reaction? What did people say?
There was a lot of people who, too, were, like, enraged by it. They felt that it was very offensive, just as I had, but there was also lots of people who did not feel that way, and felt like the assignment was justified.
How did you respond to those comments? People on both sides of the debate, if you will, on how to approach slavery, how to teach it.
So I didn't necessarily respond, because you kind of have to. When I realized how big it had gotten, I kind of just stopped looking at the comments, because initially when I started responding to comments, it was people who were agreeing with me. The only reason why I know that there was people not agreeing with me was from what my husband, because he's very protective of us, so from what my husband was telling me, and then other family members telling me not to look at the comments. So I myself did not respond to any of that, but I... How I feel about it, or how people, I feel like people have this misconception that I, in some way, kind of like hated this teacher or something. No, it was all about the assignment. And it's not just about the assignment for me. It's bigger than that. Because this assignment indicates that she has some sort of clear deficit of a full understanding of the topic of slavery herself, as well as a lack of cultural sensitivity and awareness. The fact that she did not even consider or question, that this assignment was both not appropriate for the level of comprehension needed for her fourth grade class, but then also that it was very offensive. When you think her intent, according to the school, was to look back in history and consider points that people may have made for pros and cons before slavery had been abolished. When you look at what the list of those goods would be, you would have to consider things like rape, right? You would have to consider slave women being taken as concubines, so having the opportunity, the endless opportunity for rape. You would have to consider free labor and how that was used to build their wealth off the backs of slaves. So was this teacher really prepared to unpack all of that for fourth graders? It's not appropriate. So to me, it says that she didn't have a full understanding, as well as for so many people, like of all ethnicities, people have been sending me messages from all over the world, Italy, Australia, I can't even think of Canada, and people found this just to be plain common sense, right? It's the same common sense that would prevent you from asking three good reasons for rape or three good reasons for the Holocaust. If you look at what that list of good would be, it would be to pleasure oneself, control, power, to eradicate an entire group of people. So it made me ask questions like, well, why was this common sense lacking for her? Where was her internal alarms?
Tremika Brown-Berry is with us talking about a school assignment at a private school in Wauwatosa asking fourth grade students to write about three good reasons for slavery along with three bad reasons. She posted online her child's assignment, and since then has just received a flood of comments about how we go about teaching slavery in schools. You can join the conversation 800-642-1234. Tremika, the principal of Our Redeemer Lutheran School, Jim Van Dullen, released a statement saying that, quote, as presented, the words used showed a lack of sensitivity and were offensive. He also stated that the purpose of the assignment was not in any way to have students argue that any slavery is acceptable, rather was intended to spark conversation for a classroom discussion. The statement went on to say how assignments will be handled in the future. What do you make of the school's apology?
I have been working very closely with Mr. Van Dullen, and we have established a sort of partnership because he recognized, after sitting down, having those honest, hard, tough conversations with him for hours, multiple times last week, he realized the extent of the issue. And so he has really, really been listening and hearing what I have to say and kind of trying to take this head on inside of the school and address this inside of the school to make sure that there's an inclusive environment in that school. So I'm satisfied with the way things are going with the school because we're working together to fix this.
The school also said it's going to work alongside cultural advisors to train its staff on cultural diversity. Is this an effective first step?
I believe what needs to be done, and I expressed this with Jim as well, is, like you said, the training, right? We need to educate our educators. We have to prepare them in a way that they would be able to, for one, feel comfortable to even teach this topic, but also be effective at it. And in order for them to do that, they have to have a comprehensive understanding of slavery themselves. And so yes, it's a good first step. But it can't just be a one-time class or a one-time training. This has to be ongoing. You know, this should honestly be required as a part of renewal for a teacher's license. These things should be included in that. Because when you look at the population that our teachers are serving, it's critical for them to have this sort of training.
Tramika, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tramika Brown-Berry is the Milwaukee parent who called into question her child's fourth grade homework assignment to write about three good reasons for slavery along with three bad reasons. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update. Photo image captured the fourth grade worksheet and a question, does anyone else find my fourth grader's homework offensive? That has compelled a lot of discussion around how slavery is taught in schools. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The private school in Wauwatosa apologized, saying in a statement to parents that the homework was badly worded and in poor taste, and it wasn't part of the approved curriculum. Bethany Jay is an associate professor of history at Salem State University. She teaches courses in multiple fields, including American history and slavery, history education, and public history. She's co-author of the book Understanding and Teaching American Slavery, published by the University of Wisconsin Press in 2016. Bethany, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we've been discussing this homework assignment to fourth graders, three good reasons, three bad reasons for slavery. What is your reaction to this type of homework assignment about slavery for this age group?
I've had a sort of spectrum of reactions. When I first saw just the sort of screenshot of the homework assignment and the Facebook post, I assumed that it was a homework assignment for high school age kids, and sort of had one set of reactions based on that. When I learned that it was an assignment for fourth graders, I was really taken aback by it, because I think really at the fourth grade level, you're asking students to do some pretty intense critical thinking skills if you're asking them to think about slavery on such a big level. It was a poorly worded question, and it was really just not age appropriate for those kids at that time. So, you know, my thinking about it was, this is really just, you know, this is a very poor teaching decision. Fourth graders aren't ready for this. And you're not giving, you know, what are those students supposed to be using to come up with their answers to this question? So I agree with everything that Ms. Brown-Berry said about the assignment. It really demonstrated a deficit in understanding slavery on the part of the teacher, and that creates an unfortunate situation for the students, because then you have this little fourth grader who's trying to do the right thing and do his homework and is really confused about why his teacher really doesn't understand his kind of reality, right, and his reaction to this question.
Teachers can perhaps also feel pretty overwhelmed in how to go about teaching slavery. What makes the topic of slavery so difficult for our children and ourselves to comprehend and understand the right amount at the right time?
Right. And, you know, slavery is so difficult to discuss because it is all sort of interwoven, right, with our ideas about race. And Americans, typically, we do a really terrible job talking about race. You know, we avoid it as much as we can, and when we're forced into conversations about race as a nation, they really do very little to advance any common understanding, because people arrive at those conversations with these preconceived notions, and because we've done such a bad job talking about race in the past, right, those preconceived notions are incomplete or prejudiced, and so teachers, I think, are scared to enter into conversations about slavery because those conversations about slavery aren't necessarily conversations about race. And one of the things that's unfortunate about this incident, right, is that I think that it, one of the things that it does is it highlights just how difficult teaching about this subject is. And I'm afraid that what it will do is make some teachers say, well, I'm not going to wade into those waters, right? I don't want to become the next sort of viral Facebook post, so I'm just going to sort of avoid this topic altogether. And we're not going to get anywhere if we continue to avoid talking about slavery because of fears of talking about race.
So how can teachers at all levels be better equipped to teach slavery?
Well, I think Ms. Brown-Berry really got to the heart of it in that we've done such a poor job talking about slavery for so long that our teachers, for the most part, right, feel ill-equipped to deal with the subject. And it's a very complex subject. Just even taking this assignment, you know, as an example, there are legitimate questions about why were African people enslaved? How did enslavers justify slavery? How did enslavers benefit from slavery? Those are all legitimate historical questions, not for fourth graders, right? But those are questions that historians have asked. Asking those questions is different than asking sort of what are some good reasons for slavery. But if you don't have a kind of complex understanding of the institution, I can see how those mistakes would be made. Not that that makes it any easier for the kids who are sitting in our classroom. So teachers need to have a sort of complex understanding of the institution, you know, before they can really kind of venture into some of these more difficult conversations.
They also perhaps are having to deal with language that is not suitable for our conversations. They're perhaps having to deal with some very adult type conversations when they're dealing with perhaps these first person essays and documents from the past, from the 1800s. What about that aspect?
So I think for fourth graders, I really wouldn't expect students to be dealing with sources from the time. I think with younger elementary school kids, and that's not my forte, but I'd really be expecting teachers to be giving just a very brief, you know, general sort of overview of slavery, not sugarcoating, but not entering into these more complex historical questions and sources, you know, using age-appropriate books and other things to explain the institution. For older kids, I think you really need to get into those sources, but you can't just bring them on students, right? You need to do the work of creating a classroom environment that's conducive to these kinds of conversations. My colleague, Stephen Oliver, who's with me at Salem State, you know, has wrote a chapter in the book about how to sort of get your classroom ready for these kinds of conversations. And, you know, what he talked about is really sort of being honest about your intentions. Why are we having these, you know, why are we going to have these discussions? Why is it important for us to have these kinds of discussions? Acknowledging the discomfort that's going to come from those discussions and those sources. You know, letting students know that it's okay for you to have an emotional reaction to these things. And then also sort of assuring your students, look, we're going to read about slavery. We're going to confront these sort of difficult ideas. You know, we need to know that you know, we didn't do any of this, right? None of this is sort of our fault in the 21st century, but what we can do is help to deal with this sort of lasting legacy by working towards justice and equality. And so sort of framing the conversation in a way where your students know your intent. And I think one of the problems with this fourth grade assignment is that, you know, the kids had no idea why they were doing it. You know, what's the intent of the teacher in asking me this question? Does she think slavery is okay or was okay? So having those sort of conversations, and then when you get to those sources, everybody's a little more ready for it, right? And they know that their reactions, whatever they might be, are allowed in the classroom, and you can have these kind of more honest conversations about things because they are difficult sources. They're difficult even for my college students.
Bethany Jay is with us. She teaches history at Salem State University, and her 2016 book is titled Understanding and Teaching American Slavery. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. How can teachers cover this challenging topic in all of its complexity? How do you incorporate into the classroom key primary sources that may contain racist terms or upsetting images? Join in the conversation about teaching slavery at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring in Rick, who joins us from Beloit. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I listened to the interview with the young lady that posted on Facebook, and I really got to praise her the fact that she not only had an issue with it, but she came up with solutions and wanted to work with people to solve the problem. I myself am white, and my daughter is biracial, and we have a lot of these conversations. And, you know, she's not famous. This young lady that posted this, she's not a famous person or anything, and the word got out. The reason the word got out was because she addressed it in a manner that people could relate to, and they respected the manner she went after it. That means a lot in today's world, especially with dealing with racial issues and situations like this.
Rick, thank you so much for the comment. Bethany, he appreciated how Tremeka went about this working with the school on what was not a homework assignment that was acceptable.
And I think that's key too. I mean, for parents to be active in schools and particularly to sort of advocate, right, for this kind of, for the inclusion of these kinds of topics in their kids' classroom, right? Because what we don't want is for schools to sort of turn away from trying to teach the difficult topics. And then there's real opportunities, I think, for parent-faculty cooperation with these kinds of things. You know, creating reading groups, learning communities, like all different kinds of ways where parents can be real partners in this kind of work and can help faculty and can help to avoid this kind of, you know, a reoccurrence of this kind of just insensitive and poorly thought out assignment.
Let's go to Jerry now, who joins us in Milwaukee. Jerry, go ahead.
Good morning. You know, as far as I'm concerned, this whole situation illustrates the lack of education that we Americans receive in this country. You know, I don't think it's as much as the fourth grader situation, what it is. You know, we as Americans are lucky enough to have a language that has many words that express many things, even ugly things. But teachers, talk show hosts, doctors, lawyers should all be taught about slavery, not just teachers. It should be a part of the American culture, but it's not. Once here, in February, we discussed Martin Luther King for 1 month, for instance. If the teacher had been educated about slavery when she was in school, she wouldn't have posed a question like she did. It's okay to discuss it, but what do you say? How do you pose the question? And again, it's not just the teachers. It's the principals, it's doctors. I'm repeating myself.
Jerry, thank you so much for calling in with that. Bethany, he's saying this is pervasive.
It is. I mean, you know, I think Jerry hit the nail on the head in a lot of different ways. Most people don't have a great understanding of slavery. And most of the reason why that's the case is that as a nation, we haven't asked people to really look at the subject in incredible detail. If many of us think back to our high school or even our college education, you probably learned the vast majority of American history without ever really thinking about slavery. Slavery emerges in most curriculum. You know, it's acknowledged that it's there in the colonial era, but then it sort of emerges in the 1830s with westward expansion as a sort of political problem. And so you might talk about slavery as you're talking about, you know, Missouri Compromise and Kansas, Nebraska, those things. And then, boom, as quickly as the subject is raised, it's also settled because the Civil War ends slavery and problem solved, right, in most curriculum. I talk to my students and I say, you know, there are Africans in Virginia before there are Pilgrims in Massachusetts. There's really no part of American history that we should be talking about where we're not, you know, where we're not considering the presence of enslaved people and free people of color in the United States, or what would become the United States, and the impact that that has on politics, on economy, on culture, and on the lived experiences of Americans. We really need to rethink American history, you know, top to bottom, so that it's more inclusive of this kind of narrative. When we do that, I call that the kind of long game, right? Because as we do that, then the teachers who are going to be teaching our fourth graders, you know, in the next generation have a more complex understanding of the institution and can avoid pitfalls like the one that this teacher fell into.
What are the first steps that instructors should take in teaching students about slavery? You mentioned making sure to set up the classroom in a way to enter into the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, teachers need to, I think there's a couple of different things that we need to do, you know, to talk about slavery. And the first thing teachers need to do is read, right, and seek professional development for themselves, because they're not going to be comfortable themselves in their classroom if they don't feel like they have a great hold on the content. And like I said, because slavery and race are kind of connected in this very vexed kind of manner, right, that, you know, teachers don't want to feel that they're unprepared for those conversations. And so, you know, books like Understanding and Teaching American Slavery, not to plug it too hard, but that can help. But, you know, organizations like the Gilder-Lehrman Institute at Yale or Teaching Tolerance, which is part of the Southern Poverty Law Center, they have a lot of accessible content online to help teachers to sort of get a handle on understanding slavery. And then, like I said before, I think developing faculty learning and reading groups, including parents who are interested. None of us are great critics of our own work. So if we run ideas by people, if we engage in conversations, we can also make sure that we're not being irresponsible in the classroom because we have another set of eyes on everything. You know, looking for the right resources for the classroom, responsibly authored fiction, documentaries, movies, artwork, primary sources. Give yourself time, excuse me, as a teacher to find the ones that will work for your classroom. And then teach deliberately, right? Really consider your class. Each class that you teach might be able to handle different things.
Bethany J. stays with us. She teaches history at Salem State University, and her book is Understanding and Teaching American Slavery. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. How should teachers approach this challenging topic in all of its complexity? How do you incorporate into the classroom teaching about slavery and primary sources? 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a news update. Here is an excerpt from the book Understanding and Teaching American Slavery. Although there are problems in teaching slavery, there are bigger problems in not teaching slavery. Some teachers let their worries about teaching the subject deter them from giving slavery the attention it deserves. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking through how to approach the topic of slavery in the classroom after two classroom assignments in Wisconsin schools were criticized for their approach. How should teachers approach the discussions around slavery in America? If you're a teacher, how do you approach the instruction and assignments surrounding slavery? Join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Bethany Jay is with us. She's an associate professor of history at Salem State University. She co-wrote the book Understanding and Teaching American Slavery. Let's go to Marcus now, or I'm sorry, Daryl now. Daryl, who joins us in Couderay. Hi, Daryl.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I start out by saying I believe racism has been the number one problem, challenge, actually, to America, you know, for the last 600 years. But in answer to the question or the conversation, I would like to thank Tamirka first for noticing. The topic of slavery will always be a part of American history. To many American teachers may not, although many American teachers may not know that much about slavery because they were not taught much about it when they were in school. College history classes touch upon the topic but don't really get in depth. The two questions asked by the teacher, as I believe she said, stated she wanted to discuss the two questions in class. The children may be young, but fourth grade is, what, 10, 11 years old? Really not too young to learn about the real world, two steps outside of our homes. Now, if I were to answer the questions, the three good reasons for slavery would be economics, banking, and power. The three bad reasons for slavery would be loss of freedom, loss of faith, loss of self. All good topics for any American classroom, I believe.
Daryl, thanks so much for the call. Bethany, go ahead.
Well, really, you know, I think there's a couple of different things going on here. The first is that I think this teacher was using slavery to try to teach something else, right? It seems as though slavery was being used as a sort of jumping off point for a more English language art kind of lesson, debate on creating a debate and that kind of thing. That, to me, is never advisable. And every couple of years, we see these different things crop up. A few years ago, there was a math teacher who was using statistics, you know, mortality statistics on slave ships to teach, you know, how to do certain types of math problems. I think that's never a good idea because slavery is so complex because it can generate such strong emotions, just like we saw with the fourth grader in this instance. We need to do that sort of emotional labor of working with our class to get them ready for it. And we need to do the kind of contextual work before our students can really sort of dive into these conversations. And that context is the other piece of what's missing in this assignment is, you know, I'm always asking my pre-service teachers when I'm teaching history educators, you know, what are your students using to complete this assignment? Because when we ask people to just sort of draw things out of thin air, three good reasons for slavery, for example, that's irresponsible, right? Because you're asking students to just sort of work off of preconceived notions. They might be working off of stereotypes that they've learned, and that's not going to foster a useful conversation in the classroom. So that's my sort of two reactions to this. And I think for fourth graders to think about good and bad reasons for slavery is just too much at that age level. I have a fifth grade son, and we've talked about slavery, but we've talked about the institution of slavery as a sort of labor institution. We've talked about the degradation of slavery in age-appropriate ways. You know, with him, I usually talked about being separated from family because that's something that he could really understand what that meant. But then we also sort of read books and talked about individuals and how people persevered during slavery and created culture and life and families and love, right? And I think that's a more sort of age-appropriate way to approach to deal with this kind of topic.
There is another criticism of a school district on their approach to teaching slavery for high school students, and the assignment reads, write instruction on what a person would expect to do if they were a slave. The following needs to be addressed in your essay: physical requirements of the job, mental requirements of the job, social requirements of the job, relationship with your master, relationship with fellow slaves, relationship with white Southerners who don't own you, age, hours, benefits, and treatment. As we read essay, it prompts like this: why do you think this essay received, this essay assignment received such criticism?
Right, and that's quite an essay assignment, I must say, to actually do all of that work. I think probably because it's asking students to take on a first-person voice as an enslaved person. I have a lot of questions about that assignment. Again, sort of what are students working with as they create it? And I know that was a high school age assignment. And so, again, thinking, are students looking at a text set where they're supposed to be using those sources in order to understand slavery? And I think that that question gets at a lot of what we might like students to eventually sort of know about slavery, but what is the work that the teacher has done getting students prepared to answer that question? We don't want students to just be, again, trying to sort of draw things from their imagination.
Oh, because these assignments don't come out of thin air. There's buildup to these assignments, and there's background, and there perhaps are classroom conversations that we're not privy to that have led up to the assignment.
Right, but I think also there's that sort of teaching deliberately piece where, you know, teachers might want to consider offering students a couple of different ways to deal with those questions. Some students, and meet the objectives of the lesson, some students may be comfortable taking on a first-person voice. Others might be more comfortable in a third person. Giving them options, I think, is perfectly legitimate and a good practice.
Let's step back for a moment and look at what methods can teachers use to teach their students about this historical moment in American history. Because you mentioned earlier, of course, when we teach slavery, we also have to get into racism, and there is such a connection there to a bigger topic at where we are at in this historical moment. So what can teachers do? What sources can they use, and how can they approach this moment in time?
It's always a good idea to go to the sources, and this is what, you know, my colleagues and I, who teach this, always, you know, sort of talk about it. You don't want to be the person standing at the front of the room listing good reasons for slavery, right, or justifications for slavery. You want your students to sort of discover what people at the time were saying about it. You know, that's the most responsible way. Excuse me, I have a cough.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I think everybody has a cough these days. And so really it's about that work of understanding the content and where are the sources that you might be able to use. They're going to be different for fourth graders than for high school kids. I think it's a harder job, with elementary school students in some ways. But that's where I think teachers and students can find this kind of common ground of looking at a source together, puzzling out what it means, and thinking about what are its implications.
Should teachers also bounce ideas off of each other or find support among each other when they are trying to teach difficult, complex topics?
Most definitely. I mean, I think that's really a... that's key because, like I said, we're not our own best critics. Things might make sense to us as we're crafting an assignment because we're operating from our own perspective. Getting multiple perspectives on these kinds of assignments on these kinds of discussions, even trying to have somebody else in the room who might read, you know, be able to read students' reactions is always helpful.
Tremika Brown Berry, the mother who shared the assignment, called back and wanted to say, I think we should shift our focus from justice and teach these topics with empathy. We should be taught how to empathize with the people who were enslaved and view them as humans.
That's absolutely key as well. And there's a couple of different ways to do that. You know, I always say, we want to teach historical empathy. My guess is that that second assignment that you talked about with the, you know, writing the instructions was supposed to get students to think and empathize with an enslaved person. Not every student is going to be ready to do those kinds of things, and that's where I think offering the multiple assignments makes sense. I always say we can ask students to empathize with, but we don't want to ever give students the impression that they can experience, right? And we've seen sort of things go very wrong in a classroom where teachers have tried to do irresponsible role-playing, having a slave auction, for example. You know, where that's just creating all sorts of problems for your kids. We don't want students to ever sort of experience a power relationship or recreate a power relationship, a sort of master-slave relationship in the classroom, a buyer-enslaved person relationship in the classroom. But again, going to those sources, those age-appropriate sources, can help us to empathize, whether it's young adult fiction in for younger kids or WPA slave narratives or movies for older kids.
Bethany, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Bethany Jay is an associate professor of history at Salem State University. She teaches courses in American history and slavery, history education, and public history. She's co-author of the book Understanding and Teaching American Slavery. Earlier in the hour, we spoke with Tremika Brown Berry. Her initial January 8th Facebook post has since been shared almost 4,000 times and prompted community members to contact the school to express the concern about a fourth grade homework assignment, asking them for three good reasons for slavery. This hour, the morning show, is produced by Nyasia Ellison. You're listening to the Ideas Network.